Welcome to another episode of Mission Compliance, Unleashing Growth Potential for Defense Contractors. Let's talk about something that gets a lot of people in trouble come assessment time, relying on good old antivirus like it's the only thing standing between you and a cyber meltdown. Look, antivirus is like having a bouncer at the front door of your business. Great, but what about the broken windows in the back? Or the secret tunnel under the floorboards you didn't know existed? That's where vulnerability scanning comes in. It's the behind-the-scenes security system that looks for cracks before the bad guys find them. And today, we're diving into why it's absolutely essential if you're aiming for real security and actual compliance. I am the Frito Bandito. So, we're joined at one, once again today by Mike Frieder, president of On-Call Compliance Solutions and a CMMC professional assessor. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Hey, always a pleasure, Owen.
And that intro was full of really good metaphors about our topic today, which is vulnerability scanning and why it's essential beyond antivirus. So let's jump right into that with what are some common vulnerabilities that assessments catch that antivirus completely misses?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And again, I think that it's a timely topic because last time we talked a little bit about the idea of what actually makes your activities make up a layered proactive as opposed to reactive cybersecurity approach. And, you know, the topic of vulnerability scanning is a hot one. You know, there's a control that is completely dedicated to vulnerability scanning. You know, I think it's 3.11.2, but let me just make sure about that. Yeah, 3.11.2, which is scan for vulnerabilities in organizational systems and applications periodically, and when new vulnerabilities affecting those systems and applications are identified. So, but vulnerability scanning is really misunderstood. So let's talk about the different layers that are in play here when it comes to security. Excuse me. The first thing is people confuse vulnerability scanning with an antivirus. An antivirus is a reactive system that when something bad happens or enters the system or an activity happens on a system that matches a heuristic, like a pattern, then the antivirus reacts. That's great, and you need that kind of a layer of security. You need a reactive layer. But a vulnerability scan is different. And a lot of people think that these, you know, EDRs, this endpoint detect and response, again, detect and response are reactive words, right? So detect means it's actively detecting something's off. Response means it's responding. Those are not proactive things. So the reason why this is broken out into its own control and some, you know, not just one control, but there's other controls that reference vulnerability scanning is because it's not good enough to be reactive when you're protecting systems that are storing, processing, or transmitting CUI. What NIST requires, or NIST SP 800-171 Revision 2 requires, almost CMMC, is that you are proactively managing and monitoring your systems. And vulnerability scanning is huge in that essentially what you're doing is a proactive scan of the system, which will identify potential vulnerabilities or active vulnerabilities as they're going on that may not have been detected by a reactive system like an endpoint protection system, EDR, XDR, all that mess, you know, or an antivirus. So this goes beyond just reacting to threats that are already there. This says, hey, let's look at the ports that are open on a system. Let's see if they're vulnerable. Let's look at the network itself, you know, that this machine is on. Let's see, you know, what other machines are on the network that may need to be protected that aren't. Let's look at things like, do we have, you know, devices that have a basic web server that's not using HTTPS and it's just basically HTTP, and calling out security related issues with all devices across the network, or If your enclave is smaller and you just have individual machines in the enclave and it's not inclusive of the network, it may be doing a vulnerability scan on the machine, looking at what ports are open. Again, an antivirus is not going to throw a flag if a port is open, but nonetheless, it needs to be done. Another example of that is if there are net new applications that have been discovered, a vulnerability scan may pick up on that so that we can figure out what's going on with that. It may also pick up on things like invalid login attempts. Again, an antivirus is not going to be triggered by someone putting in their password incorrectly, but that could definitely be a sign of someone trying to hack your system or brute force the system. So there's many, many, many things that a vulnerability scan can pick up on that can help you reduce threat footprint, prevent you from being hacked and attacked in the first place, and keep data safe. And that really, in a nutshell, that's what it's all about. It is NIST SP-800-171 and the defense industry as a whole when it comes to protecting CUI cannot just be reactive. That is not good enough. Maybe that'll work in some private sector businesses, but I'll tell you, any private sector business that I know that's ever gotten larger starts to have a serious risk mitigation strategy in place. Fortunately for defense contractors, they don't have to figure that out themselves. They've got this great standard that the US government wrote in order to protect them. And when applied, it really, really works. So, routine vulnerability scans are essential. And they must be done on any system that is going to be used to store, process, or transmit CUI. It's mandated. So yeah, it's hopefully that kind of helps to answer the question, Roman. But that is that's the fundamental difference between antivirus and vulnerability scanning and things like that.
Yeah, so this next question may be a bit of repetition, but because you mentioned that there is a control, specifically speaking, about vulnerability scanning, but how does implementing a vulnerability scanning solution tie directly into meeting NIST SP-800-171 and CMMC Level 2 requirements?
Yeah, no, super good question. I'll tell you that it depends on your level of CMMC. I'll primarily speak to CMMC level two because that requirement doesn't really exist in level one so much. But level two calls out control three dot L or RA.L2-3.11.2, so 3.11.2. Again, this is the vulnerability scanning control. It says scan for vulnerabilities in organizational systems and applications periodically when new vulnerabilities affecting those systems and applications are identified. So again, there is a straight mandate, on doing this. You have to do it. And the assessment points for that are determine if the frequency to scan for vulnerabilities in organizational systems and applications is defined. So again, the idea that they're really getting at here is it can't just be reactive. It must be proactive. It must be something that's scheduled, that is done on a periodic basis in order to emphasize that it shouldn't just be done on demand. It should be done periodically, not when there is a problem. When there's a problem, it's too late. The idea is to make sure that it's done before a problem happens. The second assessment objective, which is determine if vulnerability scans are performed on organizational systems with the defined frequency, essentially maps out and says, well, we want to make sure that these vulnerability scans are performed on the organizational system with the defined frequency. So that's, another thing they're going to look at is they're going to say, show me your vulnerability scan from 2 months ago, and you'll need to be prepared to show that to them. So yeah, that's, and that's just one of the controls. There's a lot of other controls, where vulnerability scanning can come into play. But yeah, so for instance, 3.11.3 is remediate vulnerabilities in accordance with risk assessments. So again, we don't, it's not enough to just even scan and look at the reports. Now we have to actually remediate these vulnerabilities in accordance with this risk assessment. Again, 3.11, the whole risk assessment family, talks about the idea of how frequently, or really mandates that we must periodically assess the risk to the organization, including operations like mission, function, image, or reputation, organizational assets and individuals resulting from the operation of organizational systems and associated processing, storage, or transmission of CUI. So it's a really, really big deal to the point where it takes up almost an entire control family out of 14. So Yeah, that's a little bit more about the controls and the tie back to CMMC and NIST SP800-171 Revision 2. And yeah, vulnerability scanning is a really, really big piece of catching things. I'll even share with you a little bit of real world experience, which is, we go on site and virtually to consult with clients all the time. Virtually, almost none of those clients, what's shocking is regardless of size, really, really big clients have it. Most clients under 500 employees are not doing regular vulnerability scanning. They're just not, right? It's whether it's not in the budget or whether the IT person doesn't have the consciousness to do it, I'm not sure. But it's just so rarely done. In my opinion, it's because most IT departments are under-resourced and they're just literally trying to, put out the fires. But, when you're at a couple of hundred employees, you're churning some serious revenue. These vulnerability scanning solutions are not expensive. I mean, they're just not. And the thing is that they're so necessary in order to protect the investment in the business. So yeah, that's again, I would just encourage everybody. And if you don't have a vulnerability scanning tool or you want some help from professionals, obviously, Roman, that's something that we do. We do have a standalone vulnerability management service that we offer, where we will meet with you and get vulnerability scans automated and also not just automated, but then meet with you periodically to review them so that they're always kept up to date. But yeah, a necessary function.
If you're watching us on YouTube, you are seeing me try not to laugh right now because Mike, you did it again. I think you inadvertently answered the final question in that second answer, but I'll ask it anyway. And if you're good with what you just said, just say ditto. I don't know. So the last question is, can you think of a time when a company thought they were secure because they had antivirus, but a vulnerability scan revealed a totally different story?
I have multiple stories where we have run vulnerability scanning tools on a network and we have found excessive failed logins indicating a brute force attack was actively underway at a client. And these weren't even small companies. I mean, these were larger companies, several hundred employees, a very competent IT team. But again, for some reason, vulnerability scanning seems to be this thing that is not, just kind of like overlooked, honestly. They think that they've got it because they've got endpoint protection. They think they've got it because the servers are covered or they've got a firewall. But, this comes down to the danger of the really serious attacks. The serious attacks are run by very, very smart, very coordinated people and teams who aren't going to do something silly like go drop a virus on your machine and trigger antivirus alerts. They're going to sit in your systems as quietly as they can and observe activity for months at a time, infiltrate and get all the data that they can, and then at the last possible minute, they're going to drop a bomb. Like ransomware, to cover up their tracks that they've even been there in the first place. So the idea that organizations are not running, enter, excuse me, enclave-wide vulnerability assessments, and vulnerability scans, is really scary. But yeah, at multiple times we have literally been the agent that said, all right, cool, as a part of our consultation, we're going to run a vulnerability scan. We're going to tell you what's wrong with your network. We're going to tell you where you can improve and harden security. We run the scan, and all of a sudden, there's a live attack going on. I mean, just you can't make this stuff up. And it's not just like it happened once. It's like I would tell you, I think it happens pretty frequently.
All right, so that brings us to our silly question. We always try to, wrap up these somewhat dry, these can be somewhat dry topics, as we say a lot. So we like to end it with a silly question. And this one, it's interesting. We talk a lot about superheroes and action movies and things. We're going to take this back to medieval times, okay? So if antivirus is the medieval knight guarding your castle door, what kind of ridiculous castle weakness would a vulnerability scanner catch that the knight totally missed?
You know what? The crazy thing is, I have a great answer to that. The answer is that the knight would miss the bridge over the moat that goes right into the back of the castle. That's what they would miss. And that's precisely what a vulnerability scanner would catch. If you've built a moat, right? You put up a firewall, or whatever your security, your layered security approach is. But then it turns out that you've got port 3389 open, for instance, right? Because at some point somebody needed to remote in their machine from home and it was temporary and then they forgot to close it. The vulnerability scanner is kind of like the rowboat that goes and sails around the moat to make sure that the moat is still doing its job of protecting and isolating the castle. And the reality is sometimes you just get enough, maybe it's rain or, a storm that maybe somehow eroded the walls of the moat and it filled in and fell in and created a land bridge so that a bad guy can literally just walk across the bridge right into the back of the castle and start attacking. That is it's a phenomenal analogy for exactly why a vulnerability scanner exists. Somebody should be floating around the moat once a month, once every week, whatever, to just make sure that the moat is still doing its job. Because sometimes security fails or settings get changed or a new device is installed or whatever have you. And the reality is that you got to have somebody on patrol in the moat. It's not good enough to just have a bunch of, really strong knights standing at the front door waiting for an attack. They're not coming in the front door. The attacks are coming in the back door, and they're going to use the door that got left wide open at the back. Sometimes physically that's the smoker's door. Sometimes that's, I just saw one yesterday that they arrested some Chinese guy who like repeatedly applied for engineering jobs at US defense firms to and then exported thousands of documents and sent them to China when it came to new and emerging technology for the United States and its defense needs. It's not like you got to watch for a cyber attack. You got to watch for the Chinese guy who's applying for a job. And again, if you're Chinese, like nothing against you, obviously, but like, you know what I mean? Like you've got to watch for those weird patterns where like somebody opens up the castle door and says, "Here you go, spy. Have a job with Lockheed." So and these things happen. So that's really where things like, vulnerability scanning and insider threat and awareness, really come in. It's just got to be a proactive approach. And when it's not a proactive approach, that's when you get people just walking in the back door causing havoc. Yeah, knights are great, and I think that that's a really amazing analogy, right? If somebody's coming at the castle from the front, the knights are going to stand on guard and they're going to react and they're going to throw down and get into a fight and hopefully kill the bad guy coming up. But if there's no knight at the back door and there's a land bridge there and you can just kind of get in and scale the castle walls, and the knights are busy defending the front, how do you even know that the back is vulnerable? And that's it's a great analogy. It's a great question. Not so silly, but it's a great question.
In that case, you're welcome. and that wraps up another great episode of Mission Compliance. We hope our discussion today has provided you with valuable insights, practical strategies, and inspiration to navigate the ever-evolving world of defense. We'd like to thank Mike for joining us, talking about the very important topic of vulnerability scanning. And on that note, for topics like these, you can go to our YouTube channel to get specific videos related to these topics. This episode topic actually came from a YouTube video, so go look for it. It's there. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Always a pleasure, Roman.
But the conversation doesn't end here. We encourage you to continue exploring these topics and connect with us via our social media channels. Share your thoughts, ask questions, and engage with fellow listeners using the hashtag Mission Compliance Podcast. If they haven't already, what should they do, Mike?
Well, they should like, subscribe, and definitely tell a fellow friend in the defense industry about our podcast because, CMMC is rolling down the tracks like a freight train. And at the end of the day, we're here helping you get compliant, providing all kinds of really amazing information, updates about what's going on in the CMMC world, updates with DFARS and NIST, and just keeping you up to date, keeping you educated, and helping you guys on your journey to compliance.
You heard him. Be sure to hit that subscribe or follow button on your favorite podcast platform so you always know when new episodes like this one are released. And we'd really appreciate it if you could take a moment to rate and review the show. Your feedback helps us to continue to bring you thought-provoking episodes and high-quality content. Join us next time as we delve further into the dynamic world of defense, security, and industry innovation. Until then, take care, stay informed, and make compliance your mission. See you next time.
Thanks, everybody.